हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा वीर्यविषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhagavad Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarna 3 Functions of the Chit and Achit Shaktis, page 104. Since Maya is defined in two forms, Jiva Maya and Guna Maya, there are two examples given. The first is the example of Jiva Maya. This example refutes the impossibility or non-existence of it. And Abhasha is a vivid image or reflection in another place caused by the original object through light. It appears externally and cannot be perceived without the original object. Jiva Maya is of this nature. Footnote 24. Jiva Maya explained in Paramatma Sandarbha consists of karma, time, swabhava, ability to transform and action. Right? So to be able to see it, this Jiva Maya, right? Because if you're dealing with an abhasha or reflection, then you have to have the point is that something is reflected. Because they'll say, oh, it's just a reflection. Because that's what the Shastra says. But what they're not catching is you can't have a reflection unless there's an object being reflected. Right? So that's the thing. That means the soul does have these activities, they do have a nature, they do have action, they do have all these things. So in the material world that we see this here, and this is illusion, right? Because they're working on the thing of the rope and the snake or the shell and silver. Like that you're thinking that it's a rope. I mean a snake, but it's actually a rope. But the point is, without the rope, you're not going to see there's a snake. Right? You know, or the reflection, it's just a reflection. Or the mirror, you have it's a reflection, so the mirror's not real. It's an illusion. Right? That it's real. But the point is, without the reality there to be reflected, how does that work? So that's the whole point, as he's pointing out here, is that therefore, when you take the Jiva Maya, then you can see that it must be there. Otherwise, why is it you're getting this effect? Does that make sense? So there can't be, that means that defeats that one argument of theirs. Since it has the nature of an abhasha reflection, this Maya is also called abhasha. Sometimes its effect, that's why we say it's a reflection. You have the spiritual world, and on the water of desire, right? Material desire, it's reflected there. So therefore we see the material world and we try to deal with this material world accordingly. Yeah?
All right. In footnote 24, karma and action are both listed. Does karma then mean reaction in this particular case?
Yeah, it would basically be is what's the means you perform an action, so what's the reaction to that?
Okay.
Like that. Or what kind of action you can perform. You know, and it also so about that it's that ability to transform, but you can only transform a certain area. Yes,
I think the definitions are also given. Karma is, I think, the cause for the action.
Okay.
And action is the action being performed itself.
So yeah, because see, as you have predestiny, and you have free will.
Right.
Yes. So predestiny is the result of your free will. So my present free will is taking place in the context of the predestiny for my previous free will. So that means, so like you said, what you can do. Mm-hmm. Means in the environment I have, that's what I can do.
Okay.
Right? You know, so it's like, say, previous karma, I dealt with money, you know, very well, respectfully, and this and that. So when I want to perform the action, let's say, of business, you can, run a multinational, corporation. But that's because of the karma. That's the environment in which you can do business. Let's say you didn't do so well with it and all that. You weren't very careful about it. And so in this life, you can open a pawn shop. like that. But still, you know, your ability to transform, you can take palm leaves and turn it into money, or you can take something else and turn it into money. So that svabhava is the same, just as very small in comparison. Right? So the action means what you'll do. So there's always the free will. But that free will can only be exercised in the environment of the results of your previous free will. So
there are five things defined in that connection. The karma is the cause of actions, time is the agitator of actions, daiva is the awarder of the benefits for the actions, svabhava is the effect of the actions. The action is the action itself, what you are doing.
Okay.
So everything is in context of actions.
Okay, so is that also the same as the five elements of action in the Gita?
I didn't.
Because you have the soul, you have the super soul, you have you know, time, karma, and all that.
Mm. But this is in context of.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it would be like this, so they use the names like this. But it sounds like it's the same principle. Since it has the nature of an abhasha or reflection, this maya is also called abhasha. Sometimes its effect, material creation, is called abhasha, as in abhasha cha nirodhas, creation and destruction. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.7. So here is that, could be either be its reflection or it can also mean creation. Sometimes that image, being very bright, obstructs vision in the eye. By that bright light, the image gives pain to the beholder's eye and produces various colors in the vicinity. Sometimes that reflected image transforms into other forms by various means. Similarly, this jiva maya covers the knowledge of the jiva. Right? Because the reflection can be really, really bright. You can't see and everything. Somebody says, you know, like you're on the road, there's water, ice, and then the sun is low, and like that. Somehow or another, I only see that in Finland and in Australia, but whatever it is. Other places you hardly get it because the sun is so low in those places. You know, normally it'd be up, you know, it'd be coming across like this, but there it's always coming like this, so you're always going to get a reflection. Doesn't matter what time of the day, you know. And so it's so bright you can't see. So that's the meaning, even though it's. So like that, then the knowledge of the jiva gets covered. So that makes sense. So then that establishes the jiva maya as the covering principle, right? Because unless you're an illusion, then you're not going to want to apply yourself. Gunamaya, with sattva and other gunas in equilibrium, produces material prakriti, footnote 25. This aspect of maya produces the substance of the world, right? So what we're seeing, what we perceive with the senses, that's the gunamaya, right? It's made of the 25 elements. Just as the light of a fire situated in one place spreads its illumination, the Shakti of the Supreme Brahman spreads out as the whole universe. Vishnu Purana 1.22.55. Right? Because so we're seeing here is that we accepted the Shakti is there and inherent in Brahman. And so in this way, then, Brahman spreads out as the whole universe. So by the influence of Brahman, then everything is manifest. So this potency, it expands, and that's what you are seeing. Right? Like that. Prakriti is eternal, like a reflection of the sun, and belongs to the inconceivable Lord, who is the cause of the universe, and is endowed with a form of knowledge and bliss. Though unconscious, by combining with the consciousness of Paramatma, Prakriti, like a dramatic player, has produced the temporary universe. You know, it's just like you have the player. They're not actually that part. But there's someone else then playing the part, right? Because the role, the actual role, is some lines in a book, some costume, and some makeup. All dead matter. But because there's a living entity there, then it brings it to life. So in the same way, the material energy is dead matter. Right? But because the Lord is there, as Paramatma, therefore it gives it life. Right? And then we identify with it, right? You know, it's just like the actor who then is playing a role and then identifies with that, you'll say there's something wrong. Right? So that's the part and point. And then everyone's fighting over the main part, you know, making politics and this and that. Yeah. So right. It's weird. Yes.
So with the soul, our soul, you just said we bring it to life because of the Paramatma.
Yes.
But what about our soul as well, the two together?
Because the dead, we can't bring the dead matter and make it move and do all the things like that. We can take part with it. We're given that facility, and then you can deal with it. Just like who provides the toys? Right, the parent or the kid?
Yeah.
The parent, but the kid then deals with them. But they can't produce and make it and, you know, put the batteries in and make it work and all that.
No, I get that. I was just confused with this distinction between our soul and the super soul. So, which is the prime one that's giving life, or is it all together?
No, it means the Lord is giving the life force that there is there in the body. That comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from us.
No.
We're simply conscious of it.
Okay. Yeah.
That's all.
So it comes from the Paramatma.
Yes, yes.
And then our super soul, our soul just lives with...
Within that, within yes. That. And then we can be conscious of that. We can take part in that.
Okay.
Is that something? That's
beautiful.
Yes,
thank
okay.
Maharaj, everything in the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world.
Yes.
Everything.
Yes. But it's just that the quality of things there is better. But the principle is the same here. The same means trees grow in the same way, and generally that's why you mentioned that you can have kadamba trees and all these different things. They're there. But there may be some other extensions beyond that here, you know, that you wouldn't have there. They're unnecessary there. Like they don't need durium. Right? You know? It's like, does that make sense? You know, the jackfruit's already a nice fruit. You don't need a durian. You know? Does that make sense? It's like if you take a jackfruit and take it out and leave it out in the garbage for a few days. And it gets stinky. Now it's a durian. You know? So you don't need that. So it's just all the auspicious and nice things that's there. But you extend things here too. But it's the same principle. You're working with the same mechanics. That's why we can relate. Because the concepts of rasa, the mechanics of rasa are the same. Bharat Muni is describing it for drama, right? Drama and poetics. And from that, we can appreciate it. And if we apply it in drama or poetics, then we are able to relate to it, right? But you see, Rupa Goswami is describing the same thing in the spiritual world. Just the difference is in the spiritual world, then it's based on that rati for Krishna. On the material world, it's not. It's based on attachment. And if there's softness of heart, you have more emotion, less than there's not. Like that. Or people feign it, you know, because you know they can get benefit from it. You know. So like that. There's always something. So it's the same principle. You know, people walk around on the earth here, birds fly in the sky, it's all the same. Just there it's eternal, and the quality of it is better. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah, because there the quality means it's all meant to please Krishna. And so then everybody's going to, you know, the best quality ingredients are there, they're going to do the best work to get the best results. And so that's why the place is so nice. Not that it's just nicer so you can enjoy it like the heavenly planets. Mm-hmm. It's nicer because of devotion. Mm-hmm. Like the heavenly planets is not nicer because of devotion.
Yes.
It's just better facilities. Yes. You do. It's just like, let's say, you work really hard, you get a promotion.
Yes.
Like that. You may give you a better office or, you know, some other facility or a special car. You get to fly first class or, you know, something like that. That's all the heavenly planets are. They just increase it's still mundane. They just increase the quality of the goods, quality of the facilities. But the spiritual world, its quality is there because of the devotion of the living entities towards Krishna. And so because of that, then it takes on another flavor that you won't get here, because here it's not done with devotion. It means devotion to ourselves, devotion to what we're attached to, connected to ourselves. But it doesn't have devotion to Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's why then here, even if we do things and connect it to Krishna, that's where it becomes perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? So that means the spiritual world is always perfect, because some things may be done with you know, very focused, you know, skill and expertise. And so therefore, it comes out so nice. But the reason that that's being done is because of devotion. Right? And other times, due to the devotion, then the various results means that the various experiences of devotion, right, the ecstasies of devotion, they may not be able to do it so nicely, but it's still perfect because of the devotion. So the whole point is it's the devotion that makes it perfect. While here we can only work on the quality of something, and then there's this idea that the better the quality, the better the enjoyment, which is not necessarily the case. You know, as I mentioned before, the rich man's living in his place, the poor man's living in his place, but they're both getting the same experience. The rich man feels this is my home, this is, you know, his security, and the poor man thinks that this place is his security. So we're thinking, no, I'm getting a better result, but the point is you're in that result, in that environment, so being that's the environment, that's what you have to judge it by. Does that make sense? It only looks like it's more if we're taking, okay, the poor man's got this and the rich man has this. So in comparison, it seems like more facility. So therefore, if he has this little bit of facility he's enjoying, when he has more facility, then he should enjoy more. Right? But the problem comes up is that now the rich man in his environment, he judges everything by the rich environment. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, he is staying in that five-star hotel, and he always has his favorite room that he stays in, but somehow or another that room's booked this time, and he's in a different room, even though it's just as good, or even though they may even be better. They upgraded him to the presidential suite. But the point is it's not looking out on the direction he wants, or it doesn't have this, or it doesn't have that, or the bathroom's here or there. There's something, and it's just not as good. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is he'll judge by his environment. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that you see that the rich people, if they're, you know, when they make their comments or reviews on fancy things, they'll be critical. Right? But if a poor man was making it, there'd be nothing to complain about. You know, wow, there's a bed. There's got sheets. Wow, that's really good. Better than the motel we stay at, right? So that's the whole thing, is that whatever position you're in, you judge by that position. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? You know? Yeah, so that's what it is. It's you know, it's just like, let's say you're going in economy, right? And so you're going to judge by, you know, whether that, you know, how far back the guy's seat in front of you comes. Does it touch your nose or not? Or, you know, stuff like that. And so this one's better. Actually, my feet touch the ground. My knees don't touch the seat in front. So this one's a good one, you know, like that. So you're going to judge there. You know what I'm saying? You know, then if they're in the other classes, they're going to judge by that position. You know, the facilities that are there, or, you know, did the bed go completely flat or almost flat, or, you know what I'm saying? So they're going to get the same experience. Does that make sense? Because for them, it's not quite as good. You know, oh yeah, this one goes flat, so this is a good one. Oh, this one doesn't quite go flat. Oh, this one my knees touch. Oh, this one my knees don't touch. For them, it's the same experience. That's the whole point.
So would it be the same in the heavenly planets?
Yes, once you're there, then it's the same old stuff.
Same old stuff, and you're judging quality and...
Yeah, so you're only getting as much enjoyment as you would get here. But you're just in a better environment. That's all. You know, that's all. So it's only if that newness of it, at that point it seems to be different. So when you're transferring from the one to the other, you know, it's just like the example is if you're outside and it's very hot and you go inside where the AC is, then for those few minutes that you're adjusting to the temperature of inside, you will be enjoying. But as soon as you're cool now and you're not hot, now you get bored. You can't just sit there and that. You have to get up, do something and all that. Now you're going to judge the experience by what you do. So that's the... Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is whatever position you're in, it's always the same. That's why I say chewing the chewed. It's the same thing. Just, you know, you're giving something else to, you know, you're chewing on one shoe and then you give a different shoe to chew on. You know, sort of.
Whereas the difference is that when we put devotional service in, then it flips everything in.
Yes, that's what makes it perfect. Because all the mechanics are meant to please Krishna. There's no other purpose for it. That. So, yeah. They Nimittamsha or Jiva Maya and the Upadanamsha or Gunamaya will be discussed later on, later in Paramatma Sandarbha. Right, because they're going to discuss theirs. Here we're discussing everything in context of the Supreme and showing the position of who's Supreme and what's the relationship and all that. Then in the next Paramatma, it'll discuss the position of the Paramatma, you know, the Jiva and you know, Maya, and how, you know, one can get out. Because here we're not discussing how to get out. We're discussing what we're working with. Because unless you know what you're working with, like the Mayavadis think they're working with nothing. So then what can you do with it? But here we understand what we're working with is Krishna's energy. So if we take that energy and connect it to Krishna, then everything works very nicely. Was that?
Yes. Yeah.
Gunamaya is illustrated with the example of darkness. This means that the previously mentioned variety of colors becomes almost complete darkness. When the original light is absent, without that shelter, the image cannot appear. So you don't really get something, because it's a reflection, but the point is, because it's so distant, you're not even really getting the colors and everything else like that. Or, one Maya is illustrated with two examples, image and darkness. The example of the image, or abhasha, was explained. The example of darkness is explained in terms of general Maya. Darkness is perceived because of light somewhere else. Without light, even darkness cannot be perceived. Right? Because unless there's a lack of light, you don't get darkness. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Darkness is perceived by the eye, which is also composed of light, and not by the back or any other limb. Maya is similar. It cannot be perceived without knowledge. So, means we can't perceive Maya unless we have knowledge. Only then, because the person without knowledge doesn't know he's in Maya. Yes.
Oh, so we perceive Maya as illusion if we know.
Yes. Well, I mean, just what's going on, how the Jiva Maya, the Guna Maya works. Because otherwise, people just think, oh, here's this thing, and this is nice. I can control it, enjoy this, and like that. It's just here for me. Like the kid goes out, finds something on the ground, it belongs to someone else, and they found it. Okay, it's mine.
Yes.
You know, and the person's just looking for it, you know.
Yes.
So they don't perceive.
Just like the scientists and everybody else, Prabhupada says that for them it is obvious that everything is a product of material energy, like everything, the life comes from matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious for them, like they don't even think of discussing that.
Mm-hmm.
They are completely under Guna Maya because they don't know anything else.
Okay, they just take it for granted. That's the way it is. Okay.
Because they don't have a knowledge of.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Maya has two divisions because of its differing functions, not because of the examples. Right? Because you have different functions that are there, and so the examples are just trying to make us aware of the difference. Sometimes Jiva Maya is called Abhasa or Chaya, and Guna Maya is called Tamas, according to these two examples. Sasarja Chaya Yaya Vidyam Pancha Parvanam Agrata Tamisram Antam Tamisram Tamo Maho Maha Tamaha. First, Brahma created ignorance of five types by his Chaya, Jiva Maya, Tamas, Moha, Maha Tamas, Tamisram, and Anda Tamisram. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:20-18. What am I, a small creature, measuring seven spans of my own hand? enclosed in a pot-like universe composed of material nature. The total material nature, tamas, false ego, ether, air, fire, water, and earth. And what is your glory when unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body just as particles of dust pass through the openings of a screened window when you create and destroy? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.11. Jiva Maya is so called because its aim is the jiva, his bewilderment, and its maya arises from functions of vidya and avidya of the Lord's nimitta shakti. Taking support of this jiva maya, at the beginning of creation, Brahma manifested avidya. O Uddhava, understand that vidya and avidya are my shaktis. They are created by my maya and are without beginning. They create liberation and bondage for the living beings. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.3. Different manifestations of vidya and avidya are described in scriptures. The devatas praise maya. Praising vidya, the demigods then saw in the sky something with a glowing orb, within a glowing orb, spreading light in all directions. They heard a message in the sky emanating from that orb. Quote, I remain in three forms with three gunas. Padma Purana. Avidya is described. Ashankyam prakriti stanam nibidha dvantam avyayam. This ignorance is of numerous types, situated in Prakriti, indestructible and dense with darkness. Padma Purana Uttarakhanda. The Lord speaks to Brahma. Right, so all these varieties of the Maya are there. It doesn't mention a definition here, but that, if I remember. You have the ignorance, you have the illusion. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Yes, it's been too long. These five, what exactly they mean. Because in there, they have specific functions that they do, these different fives.
Anda means blind, doesn't it?
Darkness.
Yeah, but it just means, it comes up from, I can't remember. But they have specific functions that, they're all varieties of the same thing. But it's different functions of this avidya, of the ignorance.
So now these five things are the origin.
Oh, I think one of them is fear of death. Is that one? Yeah, fear of death.
Yes.
Ignorance.
Great ignorance.
Andhatamisra means considering death to be the ultimate end.
Okay. Then tamisram?
It's spread in the commentary in purport, so.
Oh, okay. So, yeah,
anger.
Huh?
The first condition is the covering of tamisra or anger.
Okay.
And under Tamishra is having death as the end.
Okay.
And next is Tamas.
Then Tamas, Moha, and Maha Tamas.
The condition of not knowing anything about the spirit soul is called Tamas.
Okay.
And then Moha.
The material world is also generally called Tamas.
Okay. Because they just don't know anything about anything. Yeah.
As the attachment increases, moha, the illusion of the bodily concept of the life.
Oh, okay. So ignorance, and then you get attached. And then maha tamas?
Maha moha, or maha tamas. It means to be mad after material enjoyment.
Okay, so you're in ignorance, you don't know about the soul. In that condition, you become attracted by material energy. Then you have that attraction, then turns into the attachment, so then you run after that, then you don't get that, then there's anger, and then after that there's death.
I think death is the end.
How you fall down?
That's all the same. That's what I'm saying, is all these, there's all the same thing that has been discussed. Like, I think the five factors of action in Gita.
Yeah.
You're also mentioning the five aspects of the Jiva Maya. Because otherwise, then why would you be involved in that? So it's always the same principles. It means whatever's given in Gita, that's just given with finer and finer details and explanations as it goes on in the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita.
This Jiva Maya is owns this five things.
Yes. So he's created ignorance in this five kinds by his chaya. And he has all this.
This is the ingredient.
Gunamaya also.
Sorry?
Is it includes Gunamaya also?
Gunamaya. No, the thing is they go together.
Yes.
Because you're an illusion about Gunamaya. That Gunamaya is going to be there. So, but it's just you're taking that there's the ingredients that you're illusioned by, and then there's the illusion itself. Right? So sometimes you may see that they separate the two when they're defining it, or they may talk about it together. Because you don't really separate the material elements that your family is made out of and your attraction and attachment to them. But technically you can.
Yes.
Anucheta 17.
We didn't read the
Riti. Having described the functions of the Bahiranga Shakti, next the functions of the Antaranga Shakti is described, right? Because we were seeing the difference between the two.
Also, this Jiva Maya, Guna Maya described like one is the Nimitta and another is Upadana. One is like the ingredient cause, other is the
efficient. So Nimitta is the efficient. Okay, and Upadana is the okay, so that's where the efficient cause and ingredient cause comes in. So Krishna is both of those.
Nimitta is efficient, or?
Yes. No, I think so, right?
Nimitta will be Jiva Maya.
Yes. Nimitta is Jiva Maya, so the efficient. And then Guna Maya will be the ingredient. The Upadana, the ingredients. So it means we've heard these things. It's just that now we're technically looking at them and analyzing. So that's what I'm saying, is that none of this is new philosophy. It's just that we're not necessarily aware of the importance of it and the effect of it.
And the details of it.
Yeah, the details of it, like that.
Maharaj, can you say that Jiva Maya is subtle and Guna Maya is gross because it is taking the...
I couldn't hear.
Can you say that Jiva Maya is subtle in nature and Guna Maya is gross in nature because it is working...
Jiva Maya is subtle and Guna Maya is gross. Well, the point is the Guna Maya will also have all the metaphysical and all those kind of things. Because you have the mind, it's also subtle, and then the metaphysical. So they're both going to be. It's just that they're the same thing, just one is creating the illusion in the living entity, and the other is what the living entity is illusioned about. Anucheta 17. The Antaranga Shakti or Sarup Shakti is described. Without it, nothing is accomplished, right? So even the Bahiranga Shakti can't function without the internal potency. Okay. I offer respects to the Lord who spreads inside and outside like the air, and whom the mind, intelligence, senses, and life airs cannot touch or know. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16:23. Just as unheated iron cannot burn, the body, senses, life, airs, and intelligence move to their objects only when endowed with consciousness by the Lord. The jiva is the seer during waking, dreaming, and sleep states in name only. Right? So he's the seer because the Lord is allowing you to see. Because he sees all things. Then he's empowering all this whole processes of the senses and the consciousness and everything like that. Because he sees. He's conscious. And so the living entity, depending upon their, as I mentioned before, the karma and all that, then they're going to have a situation in which they can see in a certain way. So they can't see everything. The Lord sees everything. So according to their karma, they will see that aspect that they're allowed to see. know, people don't think, no, I can see whatever I want. No, you can't. Like, I remember I was saying once, this one devotee, then I was complaining about how messy the temple was. But they're an extremely good organizer, you know, and dealing with people and getting things accomplished. Amazing, like that. Very, very accomplished. And I mentioned about how the place is dirty, and then his comment was, "Is I can't see it."
Yes.
He says, "But so if you see it, you kindly deal with it." He says, "If I walked in, there was a pile of garbage on the veranda, I would just walk in and go around it." You know, because he'd be thinking about, you know, some preaching thing, some other organization. He'd just come in and he can't walk in the normal way. There's a pile of garbage. He'd just walk around.
Yes.
So that's the thing. He can't see that. Not that, you know, the senses, that, you know, can you see this pile of garbage? Yeah, so, you know. Because that pile of garbage isn't getting his festival arranged. So he doesn't see it. But the rich guy that walks in that gives a donation, he'll see him. Like that. While the guy cleaning the garbage won't notice the rich guy that walked in. You know? So the guy comes in, oh, this and that, you know, what's happening? And they'll just, I'm busy. You know? It's just like, hey. So that's the thing. Everybody can see a certain amount of the material creation by Krishna's grace. Krishna sees everything. So that's why he says, Jiva is the seer in name only.
Yes.
Because he can only see what's already being seen by the Lord. That's the point of that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he makes this a very strong point.
Drik Drishya Vichar.
Sorry?
Drik Drishya
Vichar. Yeah, Drik Drishya Vichar. Means who's seer and who's the seen. So we think we're the seer, but actually it's because we're being seen. And then we can see what the seer is seeing to some degree. And that way then we are. But we're actually seen. That's why I think he made the point was he was giving lecture or something, and then the deities opened and the devotee got up from the lecture and went out, and then he came back and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked him where he went. He said he went for darshan, see Krishna. He says, well, actually, no. Darshan means Krishna sees you. Not that you go for darshan. You go to that the Krishna will see you. You know, it's like that. When you're seeing, because we're always taking it, no, I'm seeing, but we're not. Like that. So when we see things in line with what Krishna sees, then now it becomes perfect. But when we see separately from what Krishna sees, that's where the problem is. The commentary says, by the Kriya Shakti, the pranas, ashava, cannot touch Brahman, which spreads like ether. The mind and other factors cannot know Brahman by Jnana Shakti. I offer respects to that Brahman. Okay, so the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis, then they're the ones that reveal, but also cause that we can't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Right. That's why this is defined as like the function of Paramatma in the spiritual world.
Because of the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis. Okay, so basically Paramatma means he's the Lord of the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis. He's operating them. I mean, in one sense, we see Brahman's the Jnana Shakti, Paramatma's the Kriya, and then Bhagavan is the control of
Icha,
yes. Oh, interesting. The cause of the mind and senses not knowing Brahman is then explained. The body, senses, mind, and pranas, endowed with a portion of Brahman's consciousness, moves towards their various objects. Without the Lord, they are like unheated iron, which cannot burn. Just as iron becomes capable of burning by the shakti of fire, but cannot burn fire itself, the body, senses, mind, and pranas move in action by jnana and kriya shaktis of Brahman, cannot touch or know Brahman. Right? So, we can perceive things and all that, by the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis. But because of that, because they're in control by the Lord, we can't know the Lord. Means by the same Shaktis that we're able to see, it's not that we can see the other direction. So the Lord is, he is beyond these things. Like the example is given. Without fire, iron can't burn. But even if iron can burn, iron can't burn fire. Right? So it's only by Krishna's grace through the Jnana and Kriya that we're able to, the senses and mind can perceive things. But at the same time is, it doesn't mean that we can know the Lord. So the Jnana and Kriya Shaktis keep us from seeing the Lord. So unless we're interested in the Lord through bhakti, we can't know. So there's all these energies going on. Because we're thinking, no, if I want to know, I can. No, but there's things in place that you can't.
Yes.
So that's being pointed out here. But we can't discuss this unless there's a faith that Brahman has Shaktis.
Yes.
Right? So that's why it's such an important, crucial point that when that the Lord is the Lord of all the Shaktis. Right? If that's there, then all these other things can be appreciated. In the Advaita commentary on Brahma Sutras 115, the Shankya philosophy is criticized. Quote, just as because of fire, a piece of iron has the ability to burn, because of the witness which glances at Pradhan, Pradhan develops, which glances at Pradhan, Pradhan develops the power to create a universe. If that is the case, since Brahman glancing at Pradhan is the cause, Brahman is the principal cause of creating the universe. Right? So, fire then makes the iron hot so it can burn. Mm-hmm. So in the same way as the material energy, by the glance of Brahman, then is able to produce, is able to create. So that means Pradhan's not the cause of creation.
Yes.
Right? The Lord is the cause of creation. The material energy will be the ingredients, but at the same time, Pradhan comes from Krishna, so Pradhan is an ingredient of Krishna. So he is supplying the ingredients. Shruti says, so see here is that the Advaita, when they have a point that, you know, is proper, then it's used, because it's very expertly done, just like Jaimini will be used, or different will be used, wherever they give a proper understanding. Shruti says, there, the sun, the moon, the stars, fire, and lightning do not shine. They all shine only by following the shining Lord. His light illuminates all these. Katha Upanishad 5.15. Ko yevan yat ka pranyat yad esha akasha anando nasyat. Who could breathe without this Brahman? If this blissful Brahman were not present. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7.1. Chakshushas, Chakshur Uta Shrotrasya Shrotram. He is the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 4.4.18. Right, so you can see as the points are being made is that sun, moon, stars, firelight, they shine because of Krishna's potency. Right? You can't breathe without Brahman. The eye is only the eye, and the ear, he is the eye of the eye. Means he's what makes us see, he's what makes us hear.
Yes.
The commentary then says, it could be proposed that the jiva knows, because it is a seer. That is not so. The jiva is a seer in name only. Drashta Pradesham, in waking, dreaming, and deep sleep. It's seer in name only, because the Lord is seeing, he's the one that allows us to see. He's the potency of seeing. So it's not just he's an impersonal potency. He's the one who sees. Nanyo jivo namasti nanyo tosi drashta. What is called the jiva is not independent, anyaha. Rather, it has a similar nature to Brahman. There's no other seer than the Lord who sees all. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3:17:23. Or another meaning of the last line is, quote, the Lord knows the jiva defined as the seer. The jiva cannot know the Lord. For it is said, Ekam ekat tara bhave yada no pala bha mahe tritayam tatrayo veda saatma svastrayashrayaha. Since we cannot perceive one item in the absence of one of the other items, subtle sense, sense, deity, and gross form, he who is independent of these three is the Atma. But the shelter of the Atma is the Paramatma. Right? Because the subtle sense, the sense itself, and the subtle sense, the sense deity, and the gross form. So you're going to have the subtle sense itself. You're going to have the gross form of what you are seeing, but you're also going to have the devata that is then controlling all these things. And so that is how you say? The Atma is separate from that, but the Atma is dependent upon the Lord. Right? So the jiva being a seer is only that he's superior to material energy, but he's only able to do that because of the Supreme Lord.
Yeah? Yes. And I... To really see means he need to see these three things, subtle sense and deity. If the jiva doesn't see the devata behind, there is some lack of something.
Yes, because then you're not going to be able to see the Lord, because otherwise we just think the thing's there and I'm seeing it. But yes, the whole thing is you have the sense object and the tanmatra. Right? Mm-hmm. And so then somebody's in control of all this. So why does that function?
Okay.
Right, so we're separate from those three. That's why then we can see it. But the point is all that's created by the Lord. And so we are taking shelter of the Lord. That's why we can see. So we can't see separately.
Okay. And to see only the gross and subtle means only material thing without the devata.
Yes, like that. But also we're not seeing the soul. We're not seeing the understanding of who we are. So we can't understand the absolute. So even there is, if you say there's God, but you don't know who you are, you don't really understand God.
Yes.
Right? You know, it's just like if I'm the body, and then, you know, I have faith in God, but God's the bigger body who just supplies stuff.
Yes.
But we don't understand his transcendental position,
yes,
and anything else like that. But when you understand the soul, their nature, then we can understand the Lord. It means it's by the Lord's grace that we have this understanding, but the principle of being able to understand Atma, you know, the transcendence, that's one principle. It's just that the Lord is the principle of Atma, and the Jiva is a small portion of that. So therefore, he's the supreme Atma. He's the supreme life. Right? Because if we don't know that we're not the body, we're the soul, we don't actually, won't really understand God either.
Yes.
You know, there's some idea. But
yes.
That's why it said it's vague.
Yes.
So how is the jiva? How jiva is superior to material nature?
Because it's conscious.
But like yesterday also mentioned that it's like the inferior nature and the superior nature, the energies Krishna has. So
yes,
that's difference in relation to him or to jiva also.
It's a relation to him, because one's conscious, one's not. The jiva is part of the internal potency, but because they're on the edge and they're so small, they can be influenced by the external. Right? So therefore, they're distinguished from the other aspects of internal potency that can't be influenced by material energy.
So if it's always influenced, means it's always inferior.
Inferior to the internal potency. It's dependent on the internal potency, but it's still superior to the external nature because it's conscious.
It's still influenced by it.
Yeah, but the point is who's giving the potency to Maya to cause that influence? It's a transformation of the internal potency. So the matter itself, pradhan, is unconscious matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's why it's inferior. Yes.
In this context, later on when the subject comes again, like Lord jokingly asks, Vishwanatha Thakur says, So you are praying that that I should destroy that my external energy. So you want me to lose some of my potency in order to get you liberated.
Okay.
Then the jiva in reply says, this is a very minute part of your potency, which is very insignificant. Even if it is destroyed, there is no loss to you. So it's very infinitesimal.
Oh, okay.
So basically the energy and the whole material energy, the function of it is very minimal compared to the whole,
the spiritual.
Spiritual.
Yeah. Yeah, Lakshmi Devi mentions it, say, you know, it's like basically it's a millionth of a millionth part. You know, I mean, we're so small, and we're in 1/10,000th part. So it's less, you know, in another place it says a billionth of a billion. You know, just to give you an idea that it's not very much.
There's a similar pastime coming up, well, maybe next year, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. One of his devotees wanted to take on the sin of the entire universe.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, and the same thing was there, the same discussion. What's, it's just a little of the universe, what's the big deal? Then what?
That's far out. Yeah, yeah. So what for him wasn't a big thing. It's a small. It's only a small portion of it.
So because the Lord can, the jiva can maintain the connection with the Lord through his internal potency, it's always like superior, because this is very infinitesimal in that regard, because it doesn't have any function on a spiritual plane.
Does that make any sense?
Couldn't connect those two things.
See, is that it's not a matter of control, because the Lord is in control of all the energies. It's a matter of consciousness, right? It means, what are we trying to do? Self-realization, it's a matter of control or consciousness? Yeah, you're elevating the consciousness. So that's by bringing it in line with Krishna's. So in this way, the jiva is superior to unconscious matter. Does that make sense? Because when we're in illusion, what are we in illusion about?
Connection.
Yeah. And so then we see here is the upadana, or the ingredients, are what we're illusioned about. Right? The jiva maya is controlling, but we're in illusion that this, the upadana, or the ingredients, that's real. So that's the problem, is it's not real. That's not the real aspect. Right? The real aspect is this Krishna's energy. But we're thinking it's something that it's not, something we can enjoy and everything like that. So Krishna is the controller, he's the enjoyer, he's the friend. So when that's established, then at least for us, service. So then it's service in consciousness. So when we're actually conscious, then we take part in the internal potency, not the external. Does that make some sense, sir?
So, can we, our position is service, but can we feel feelings of friendship towards Krishna, or do we have to just always be in a position of Lord and Master?
No, the point is that that's the position, is he's the Lord and Master. But relationship, that could be according to whatever it is. Just like, let's say, the child. Then, who's the Lord and Master? The parents. So is it just an awe and reverence relationship?
No.
No. So that's the whole point. It just depends upon what's the...
So we can develop feelings of friendship or love for Krishna other than this awe and reverence.
Of course, of course, yes, okay. Yes, yes. Oh, these guys.
Yes.
These guys aren't good.
Yes.
I've never seen these guys here before.
Big one.
Hmm? Yeah, they're messy and they're trouble.
Yes.
The other, the turtle doves are okay.
Yes,
they're a little bit more conscious. These guys are not.
More forceful.
Yeah.
Oh, be careful now, right?
Yeah, that's the whole point. These guys are okay.
Yes.
Don't you? Someone brought them in. And made facility for them at the Goshala. And then, since then, they've been around. Otherwise, before, they weren't local. They'd only be in Navadvip.
Maharaj, it seems to be a common misunderstanding that Prabhu brought up, that, you know, we feel that we're overpowered by material nature, that it's controlling us, but because we don't want to, you know, own up to the fact that we turned our back on Krishna, and that's why we're under the influence of it. So, yeah. In other words, although it was our decision, we still feel like we feel better about ourselves if
something else is in control.
Yeah.
Okay, if we're taking it that angle, yeah. Okay, that's a good one. Because then it's that we're not at fault because something else is of a higher power is controlling us.
Right. And then we're not really motivated to do anything to change it because it's not our fault. It's material nature.
So that's a good point. Yeah, because it's a matter of the natural position of the soul being to serve Krishna. Then not seeing things in connection with Krishna, that puts us under the illusory energy. So that's just done by his type of maya. Mm. So the living entity there, once he changes the consciousness back to Krishna consciousness, then he'll be under the influence of the internal potency. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just as an example, if a minister or another higher level person, if he commits mistake, then he's kept under the control of the jail soldiers. Mm. But the jail soldiers as such are inferior to him. But he's kept under the control because of the order of the king, who is more powerful.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes, no?
Well, it starts making sense.
Yeah.
But it needs more explanation.
Why? Where's the doubt?
Yeah, the doubt is. That's a good example. But still, if the energy is superior, I mean, if it's inferior to me, that means I can control it.
This is the fault.
Yeah.
Is you're thinking it's the control that is your identity.
Yeah.
But that's why we're here. In other words, those who think they can control Krishna's energy, they're put here.
Yes.
Right? Just like this. Let us say, let's try another example. Let's say you have the rich man in his house. Now, can you go into his house and control things in the house? Means practically. Means you could go in the fridge and eat whatever you want and sit on the couch and put your feet on the coffee table and turn on the television and, you know, throw the towels around and just make a complete mess. You can control it. But is that your position? No. So why the whole point is when our measurement is control, then the point is that's when we're in illusion because we're seeing our ability to control something. But the illusion is no, it's all under Krishna's control. So we're not seeing Krishna's control. That's what we were talking about before. He's the one that enters everything. He's the one that makes it function. He's the one that makes the senses work. He's the one that gives the life airs. So we're thinking, no, we're doing this. Or we don't even think. That's the thing of Jiva Maya. We don't even consider that there's something else. Right? It's just that's the way it is. So we're not considering that, yes, we're supposed to function in the rich man's house according to the rich man's desires. Then everything will be nice. Then we'll be eating the same food, doing the same things, everything like that. But as soon as we try to do it independently, then we're under the control of the material energy. And we have to remember, material energy is a jail. So you're only in the jail because you're not dealing properly with his energy. So it's not about control.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. You understand?
Mm.
So if we tend towards the intellectual, we'll talk control. You know, if we tend more towards the enjoyment, then we're going to talk that.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Intellectual, you mean jnana.
Sorry?
Intellectual, you mean jnana.
Yeah. Because otherwise, why would you pick control? Because what's the point of controlling if you don't enjoy it? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the karmis want to control something only in as much as they'll enjoy it. But the emphasis on control, that's always going to come from an intellectual background. Because that's the whole idea. The impersonalists are trying to control. They become the supreme. That's why it's all mundane. So we have to give that up, is that we're servants, therefore we take up that service to Krishna. And in that mood, then everything works very nicely. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so jnana means control without enjoyment.
How many jnanis do you know that are, you know, living it up? Right? Does that make sense? That means technically they haven't even been to California, right? So, you know what I'm saying?
They enjoy the control.
Yeah, but you know how? But they're really dry people. You know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to control. It means through their control, they think they'll enjoy.
Yeah.
But the amount of enjoyment, you know, you plunk them down somewhere, they don't know what to do. They socially, they can't function very well.
Mm.
In their own circles, it's okay, but in other circles, not really.
So the enjoyment, his potential is still there. He wants to enjoy it, but he like stresses the control.
Yeah, well, that's what jnana and karma is. Karma emphasizes the enjoyment. Jnana emphasizes the control, because that's the whole thing. By my intelligence, I can understand everything,
mm-hmm.
and by that and that understanding, therefore, I'm in control.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you doubt their control, they become very upset. Yes?
In Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Krishna talked about also desire to be well-wisher. Is it belong to mentality of karma of jnana?
And here, that means it can be coming from either. It'll be kind of the mix of that. That means they're trying to be the friend of everyone. You know, in other words, the people that can't control and can't enjoy, then they try to be the friend.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, be nice to everybody.
Yes, you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah, you know, just you just try to, you know, we're all together, we have to consider everybody, and all that kind of stuff. They're not able to do either. So you see that's very popular nowadays. That's becoming more and more prominent. When everybody talks about it, because if everything's nice and everybody's friendly, then everybody supposedly will be happy. And
well, somewhere in families also now, because we can't control them because they're teen and grown up. We cannot get any enjoyment from them because they also want to live their personal life. That's why we are friendly.
We're friendly. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you say that this particular aspect of Jiva Maya is present at the tattvic position, wherein the Jiva, he has been covered and then he is thrown into Guna Maya?
Yeah, yes, that's what we're saying, the covering and throwing. Jiva Maya covers and then one's thrown into the various aspects of Guna Maya. That's what we were discussing yesterday.
Yes, outside the universe this happens then.
What do you mean outside the universe?
I mean the tattvic position wherein the glance of Mahavishnu, that's it. With the Jiva manifest and then like. Before his fall.
The point is why would you be in that position unless you've already. It means you're not going to be under the control of the external energy unless you've already made your choice.
Okay,
so again, it goes back to Prabhu's point, is that it's that we've made the choice. The choice hasn't been made for us. So when you look at Krishna's energy and you see the energy not connected to Krishna, now you're under Jiva Maya. When you see it connected to Krishna, that's devotional. So that's the point. The Tathasta Shakti can see it either way. So those living entities that see it always connected to Krishna, and therefore they move forward to prema. And those that see the Krishna's energy separate from him, they move, then they're shifted to Maya.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to work it into a time and space kind of thing. It doesn't work like that. Was something else? Yes.
In the Gita, the same point is brought up. Sometimes they even draw a triangle and Achit and Ishvar, and Ishvar is on the top.
Yes.
And he is the controller of both.
Yes, yes.
Especially in the ninth chapter, it's brought very strongly when Krishna explains his own opulences.
Okay.
He starts to explain.
Right, right.
And he says, I'm controlled. It's not like one energy controlling the other. It's Krishna's controlling both.
Okay. Yeah, because then he's controlling the jiva through the external energy or controlling the jiva through the internal.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, that's Krishna. Does that make any more sense?
Yes.
So it's not about who's in control, because that we're thinking about it, that it were in control, that's jiva maya. Because Krishna's the one who's controlling. Because that's what is the whole point of being made, is that engaging the senses and the intelligence, all that, that comes from Krishna's potency. Does that make sense? So Krishna's controlling that. We're not on our own independently controlling things. There's only the illusion that we're controlling things. Right? So we can say, but I want to control things, but that's because we want to control for ourselves, therefore we're in this illusion. But when you want to deal with Krishna's energy in connection with him for his pleasure, then we work with Yogamaya, the internal potency. Then we can take part in that same process, but now in connection with Krishna. So just like in illusion, we're trying to control everything, and we're quite happy doing that. You know, the relationships, the interaction, the experiences. So seeing that it's inferior, and we still think it's okay, then how much better is the original form? Right? So there we can have that relationship with Krishna. Does that make sense? So the same as we're involved in the same process, just that in this process, it's connected to Krishna's satisfaction. So the energies aren't seen separate from Krishna. That's the thing, is we're trying to see it as separate. So the material energy is there, it's separate, I'm controlling that, and then above me is this, but yeah, that's Prabhu's pointing out, Krishna's controlling all the energies. He's the one controlling, not us. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then we have to look at that, you know, to see. You know, because control doesn't have to be mechanical. You know, the control can also be intellectual. You know, it's like when, what do you call it? Srila Prabhupada, devotee came forward for the initiation, you know, and he says, okay, what are the four regular principles? And then, you know, typically they'll remember three and not the fourth. And so whatever one they couldn't remember, then Prabhupada would look at it and go, don't do that. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? So in the same way, so we have control issues, then that's the one you have to watch out for. You know? So it's not, let's say, managerial control or these kind of things. It's intellectual. So you see that context, and then you can see how to apply it into your situation. Because the point is for you to use the intelligence and the senses and all that, it's still through Krishna's potency. He's still controlling the material energy that we take part in.
So even all our insight and understanding is through his mercy.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, but it's all, because it's all personal. Like that. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Maharaj, that is what Krishna tells first, defines karma yoga, then jnana yoga, then in the fifth chapter, he tells, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, I am the proprietor, I am the friend of all living entities.
Mm. Okay, when it's put together, yeah.
If you understand this, then you will be peaceful. Mm.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so it goes together. Okay, very good.
Just a quick question. With that point, then self-effort, I mean, in a sense, all self-effort becomes almost irrelevant because of mercy. It really depends on mercy at the end of the day.
Yes, but why would you get mercy unless you're wanting to make an endeavor? Just because someone else is in control doesn't mean that we don't want to take part in the process.
Yeah. So we do our best, but at the end of the day, it's his mercy.
Means these things are only given to break down our attachments to the material world, the idea that I'm the controller and enjoyer. But as far as relationships go, then you're functioning within the relationship with the Lord. That's why this is at the first level of how Krishna is the absolute.
Right.
Like that.
Thank you.
Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.